You've got questions about the defense, the offensive line, the run game, and some of the freshmen. You got questions? I try to have some answers. Mailbag edition, Twitter Tuesday, right here on Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter and at Locked On Vols. Each and every day, making this your first listen. Can't thank you enough for that. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. And of course, you can find this on YouTube. Please subscribe to the show there. Incredible push on YouTube. We are well over, I think, 3,400 right now. Well on our way to getting it to 5,000 by the end of football season. So feel good about that. I can't thank you guys enough. Tons to get into here today as it's a mailbag edition of the podcast. You guys have been sending me in your questions and your comments and a bunch of stuff throughout the weekend, the other part of this week, and we're going to bring it onto the show, and I'm going to try to answer those to the best of my abilities. Of course, I'm your host here of Locked On Vols and also write for VolQuest.com. That's the On3 site covering the University of Tennessee, and really, really do appreciate you guys hanging out and taking part in the show. So, before we get into Twitter Tuesday, I want to make mention Hendon Hooker named the Offensive Player of the Week by the Southeastern Conference. And again, this is a game where he sets a Tennessee record for 167, not in one game, but 167 consecutive passes without an interception. He had a career-high 27 completions and a fourth career game of over 300 yards passing. He finished 27-42. 325, two touchdowns. He was sacked three times. Hendon Hooker, your Offensive Player of the Week by the Southeastern Conference. And then Byron Young named the Defensive Lineman of the Week from the Southeastern Conference. His numbers went four tackles. He had a sack, two TFLs, and three quarterback hurries. He was flying all over the place. A really good game for Byron Young. I think I mentioned this on the show yesterday, but Tennessee jumped up to number 15. If not, sorry, I'm sure you heard it, but Tennessee jumps up to number 15 in the week three AP poll, and the kickoff time has been announced for Tennessee and Florida next Saturday. Of course, Akron is this Saturday. Next Saturday, you get up to the 3:30 CBS slot, Tennessee and Florida right here at Neyland Stadium. We'll have to see if College Game Day wants to make its appearance. And now with the loss to Kentucky, I don't know, in the way Florida looked against Kentucky, I don't know if that's in the cards, but of course we will see. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. This is Twitter Tuesday, mailbag edition of Locked On Vols. And I really, really do appreciate you guys for sending me in questions and comments throughout the weekend. Really appreciate it. And every single weekend, that's when you take over the show. We'll go to Jared first. Jared wants to know, do you happen to know whether there's an app or a site that carries the radio broadcast of all UT games? I live outside Tennessee and trying to figure that out. Radio Vol Radio Network, you can access that, the WML Sports app, thesportsanimal.com, or 991thesportsanimal.com, and there's a UT Sports app, a UT, I think it's called the Game Day app. I would just search that. The logo is it's Tennessee Athletics app. I'm looking at it right now on my phone. It's a big power T, and they carry the audio calls on there as well. Jared, if you want to check that out, we'll continue on and we'll go to Sean next. Sean wrote to me over the weekend and said, there's no way that Florida isn't a night game, right? Does the AD have any influence on that decision? Well, as we know now, Tennessee and Florida, they are going to be the 3:30 slot on CBS. That is the time you want to play in, right? That's the premier football slot. Of course, you got primetime later in the night, but something special about playing at 3:30 on CBS. Tennessee, historically, at least here lately, has not had much success at CBS time slots, but you know, we'll see. It'd be a big win for Tennessee, obviously, if it takes down Florida. As far as the AD, I don't think that the AD has any say in that. It's all about TV slots. It's about which network wants to carry which game where, depending on ratings. So when you look at the slate for September 24th, CBS saw that Tennessee and Florida are playing, Arkansas and A&M, which is a pretty good matchup, and then Missouri and Auburn. Those are really the only SEC versus SEC games that day. And so Tennessee-Florida will likely be the best one. A&M and Arkansas, I didn't look at the schedule. I would assume that they're the night game. And then Missouri and Auburn, that has got 11 a.m. local time written all over it. Don't want that. Don't want that at all. So I appreciate the question, Sean, but the AD typically doesn't have a say in that whatsoever. We'll go to Always the Vollen, and he actually tweeted at me and said, or sent me his tweet that said, per the SEC, Hooker broke a school record for consecutive attempts with an interception, without an interception, which now stands at 167 straight attempts without a pick. That mark broke Jared Garantano, a record of 166. He wanted to know if I knew that. I did know that because they announced in the press box while we were in Pittsburgh. And a lot of people were saying, JG, are you kidding me? Yeah, right. Well, keep in mind, remember, he played a lot of football here at Tennessee. He started some games his redshirt freshman season, and he was very timid and didn't throw, didn't take many chances early in his career. And so, like, he would finish the season, like, 12 touchdowns, two picks, 12 touchdowns, one pick, you know, somewhere around there. When he got to be a junior and senior, he said, F it, and I'm just going to throw it everywhere, right? So that was a big part of early in his career when he had that streak. But I did know that. That's a really good streak for Hendon Hooker, who obviously airs it out and throws it all over the place. So that's a really nice stat to have, 167 pass attempts without an interception. We'll go on now to James. James wants to know, what's your ceiling and floor for UT this year? I see four wins and two losses on the schedule with four toss-up games, which I expect Tennessee could be favored in all four. It's hard to overstate how important it was to get out of Pittsburgh with that win. Absolutely. And there's some more questions about that Pittsburgh game. So important to find a way to win that football game and move on. I think the season is defined by September. Tennessee will likely head into Florida, pending disastrous effort against Akron, right? With a 3-0 record. If you're able to exit September with a 4-0 record, boy, you are sitting pretty. I think Tennessee's ceiling is still at 9 wins. We can see what happens here, but I don't see Tennessee still beating Alabama or Georgia. Anything's possible. I still have those as losses. LSU's not looked great, looked really shaky in week one against good competition. I like Tennessee's chances better in that football game now on the road, but that's still going to be tough. And then you have Kentucky as well, and a trip to Columbia where Spencer Rattler's turning the football over, but he's throwing it at a high clip. Had almost 400 yards passing the other day. So I still think regular season 9 wins your cap. 7 wins, you're crawling to it. I continue to say hammer the over before the season starts. I'm so much closer to 9 wins than I am 7, but 9 wins is still where I'm at in terms of the ceiling for the regular season. And 7 wins is the absolute floor, but I would be shocked if Tennessee goes 7-5 in the regular season once again. He said, P.S., I wasn't there this weekend, but I love PNC Park. It's my favorite park I've been to. Yeah, that I've gotten that a lot. Fenway's number one for me. PNC is easily number two. Love PNC. I think it's absolutely gorgeous. We'll go on now to Braden. And let's see here. Actually, let's go to Bryson. Bryson, assuming the football team wins 8 games this year, could this be the best year of UT athletics in history? All right, so I just did a quick scan here. I didn't go back and spend ample time. Simply, I just didn't have time. But 8 games for football, I mean, it's a solid season in the regular season. But, I mean, that's still nothing to write home about. Like, you're not going to get in the New Year's 6 bowl games. You're not winning an SEC championship with 8 games on the football season. We'll see what basketball does. They've got to go deeper in the tournament. Baseball has a chance to be right back where it was a season ago and a chance to go back to Omaha. But whenever I'm asked this question, I continue to go back to that 1998-99 academic year. Tennessee, of course, wins the national championship in football. The Lady Vols basketball team went to the Elite Eight. The men's basketball team was a 21-9 record, 12-4 in SEC play. But again, kind of like teams right now, only going to the first round. So I the answer is no to me if Tennessee just gets 8 wins in the regular season, but we'll see what the other sports does. It's hard to overcome a natty, right? I mean, it's so difficult. Plus in the 90s, Tennessee, even the year they didn't win the national championship, which is every other year in the 90s, I mean, Lady Vols were on fire and there were some good basketball seasons in there as well. And the baseball team went to the World Series in 95. So I would look in the 90s to kind of answer your question. We'll get a couple more here in segment number one. We'll go to Will. Will says, you taking the over or the under on 10 targets for Brew McCoy against Akron? feel like Hendon needs to look his side more often. Absolutely. Couldn't agree with that anymore. Hendon Hooker needs to scan the field more. I just really feel like he was saying, all right, I'm in a dogfight. Cedric Tillman's my guy. I'm throwing it to him. I trust him. He's my security blanket. I've worked with him. We had that chemistry. And I just feel like that's a lot of what he did in Pittsburgh. He absolutely needs to scan the field more. Brew was 4 catches on 4 targets for 32 yards and a touchdown. Or was it 32 yards? I've got it right here. Hold on. Brew McCoy, 58 yards. Yeah, there we go. Short change on 58 yards. And of course, he had that long touchdown catch. But even on that first down reception in the fourth quarter, when he caught it in front of the sticks, bounced off a guy, broke a tackle, and picked up a huge first down, Brew McCoy is an athlete. Brew McCoy needs to get the football more, without a doubt. But to answer your question, well under. I think Akron, we'll get into more Akron as the week goes on. I think Akron's going to be a whole lot like Ball State in terms of you're just not going to get much out of it. You want to go in there, get injury free, you know, score some points, make some create some turnovers, get out of there and start focusing on Florida. We'll go to one more before we hit a reset here, and we'll go to Braden. Braden wants to know, Josh Dobbs is considered the last great quarterback for Tennessee. It seems there's a lot of hype surrounding Hooker than there was when Dobbs was even here. Dobbs was nowhere near the top of NFL draft boards like Hooker is supposedly. What seems to differentiate the two? Well, Hooker's not above, not at the top of draft boards. I'm not saying he's well down there, but I still think Hooker's pretty much a mid-round grade, which is kind of where Dobbs was. I think Hooker throws the ball better than Dobbs, personally. I think Dobbs was a much better runner, and that his run game was such a big part of who Tennessee was at the time. They would call design quarterback powers and sweeps for Dobbs, and he was just such a game changer. Of course, he could throw the football as well. I think Hooker can throw it better than Dobbs when he was in college. That's just my opinion, but Hooker running the football, whew, I'd say a prayer and hold your breath, right? Because, I mean, he's very good with his legs, but, gosh, it just looks so erratic at times. But still, that needs to be a part of his game that he relies on more as his legs, and I think that that will be his Tennessee. I mean, keep in mind, a lot of his rushing yards the other day were, you know, whenever he was taken up at the middle to avoid a rush. He's so slimy and hard to bring down and such. But I think the biggest difference is Dobbs was a better athlete. He was a better runner, and that was big for the college game at that time, especially for Tennessee's offense. I think Hooker has a better arm. I think he's the better thrower at this stage in their careers. All right, so we'll come back. We got plenty more to get into. All three segments, Twitter Tuesday. Can't thank you guys enough for making this mailbag edition of Locked On what it is here on a Tuesday. So stay tuned. More coming up here in just a moment. But I want to remind you guys, from cringing at the pump to getting an eye-popping check at your favorite restaurant, inflation is hitting us all where it hurts, and it really hurts. That's why I started using Upside. Upside's an incredible app for everyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With every purchase, I'm earning cash back thanks to Upside. To get started, download the free Upside app, use the promo code LOCKED, and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. Check in at the business, pay as usual with credit or debit, and then you're going to get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every single week. That's probably why they've got a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. Download the free Upside app and use promo code LOCK to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using promo code LOCKED. Welcome back in your Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm Mary Kane. Guys, thanks so much for sending me in your questions, your comments, and your concerns every single Tuesday right here on Locked On Vols. It's Twitter Tuesday mailbag, where you guys take over the show. Let's get back into it. Trevor says, you could also add this to the Tuesday for, okay, that's what I'm doing. Okay, that was kind of like that Ron Burgundy, don't read the teleprompter, don't read exactly what's on the teleprompter. I just had another moment like there. All right, here we go. The phrase, you have to win your clunkers in college football. Would you consider the Pitt game as a clunker that Tennessee won today, or is this what Tennessee is this year? Absolutely, I would say it's a clunker, because Tennessee started off so slow, responded well, took control of the football game, had chances to put Pitt away, didn't do it. Defense played well quarters two through overtime. All right. The offense played great, responded towards the end of the first quarter, great in the second quarter. And then in the third and fourth quarter, the offense disappeared. But you found a way to win that football game, and that's just huge. Again, we'll talk about it more on a couple of questions later in the program, but I would absolutely characterize that as a clunker because Tennessee didn't play nearly as good as what it could have played, yet it won the football game. How many times have we said, oh, Tennessee was so close, it would have won the football game if it didn't do this, or had this call go against them, or this call go against them, or this player get hurt, or that player hurt. It had, you know, all that happened. And Tennessee still had a chance to win the football game, but Tennessee actually won this football game. That's the big difference, and that's why I think it's worth celebrating. So, Trevor, to answer your question, I would absolutely characterize this as a clunker because Tennessee's offense was MIA in the second half. All right, let's move on now to Blake. Blake's got a bunch of observations that he sent me, so I'm going to try to roll through these as quickly as I can. But Blake, appreciate you sending these to me, all right? Here's some of his observations on the offense. Offense goes 0 to 100 in any given series. Look terrible, then look unstoppable. Is that normal with Heupel system? Yeah, it's just kind of a product of the system. High tempo, you go so fast. Absolutely, I'd say it's a product of the system. Hooker seemed a bit off at times, especially early on. Seemed like he zeroed in on Tillman. He definitely did 18 targets, which worked out in the end. But as much talent as we have at wide receiver, that could have been spread out a lot more. Absolutely. Again, four targets for Brew McCoy. Got to have more. Seemed like Pitt was playing a safety over the slot, but 12 yards off the wide receiver most of the game. I know that's where Hyatt ran his stop and go and should have been a touchdown in the first quarter. We took advantage of it during the two-minute drill in the fourth quarter, but didn't target that matchup much more throughout the game. Those quick outs are an easy 5 yards of play. Yeah, they went to Hyatt three consecutive times in the fourth quarter and got two first downs, I believe. But yeah, it's simple, just give and take, right? If you're going to give that cushion, especially, you know, with a safety over the slot with Hyatt, who can just burn past him, especially a 5'9" ACC safety, they should have went to that a little bit more. Last one on offense, not much success running the ball in several moments of the game. Last week, West Virginia was able to really move it up and down the field on Pitt. Was this a weakness for us, or did Narduzzi fix his run defense after last week? I think it can be a little bit of both. I mean, I said I don't think Pittsburgh was as bad as what it showed against West Virginia. I think Pittsburgh's front seven is much better than we give it credit for, and historically that's what Narduzzi's known for. Like I said, I think Baldonado's a dude. I think Cansey's a dude. I think John Morgan's a good player. I think Servassier Dennis, the linebacker's a good player. I think it's a little bit of both. I think Tennessee had a bad day, but Pitt made it rough on him. Defensively, again, these are still from Blake. Our defense struggled, especially on second and third levels, whether it was getting Pitt's running backs down our coverage multiple times, trying to arm tackle, or being out of position in coverage, just not making the play with the ball. Yep, it was sloppy defense at times, especially in the back end. We were able to get pressure on Pitt's quarterbacks and disrupt the passing game with the defensive line, which was the concern after Ball State's. B.Y. Barron and Roman Harrison were all able to get pressure throughout the game. Also, really loved how creative everyone was about getting their hands up. Oh, yeah, 100%. I asked that to Amari Thomas after the game, and I know the answer, but I'm just trying to get a quote saying, is that something specifically you worked on this week? And he said, no, we were getting our hands up every single day in practice. When you get time, when the quarterback holds the football, you get back there, get those big paws up, and that's what Tennessee did. Beasley's the MVP on defense, last one here. He's playing out of his mind thus far. I thought he'd have 20-plus tackles, and he is very good at blitzing or spying the quarterback. Is he one of your favorite players since he plays linebacker and seems to have a nose for the football? Yeah, right now he's absolutely my favorite player to watch. He's reading well, seeing it slowly, reacting quickly, running the alleyway, and making the play. You can just tell that's a night and day difference from what it appears from last year to this year. So I didn't get through all those. I apologize. We got to move on, but great observations. Really, really good stuff there. But yeah, some good, I mean, pretty much on par with what I think as well. So take that for what it's worth, whether that's good or a bad thing. Let's go to Cole. Cole says, what is the deal with Juwan Mitchell? I think Juwan Mitchell will play this week. I do. I'm not reporting it. That's just my opinion. I think Juwan Mitchell, he will play this season. I'll tell you that for sure. I will say that. He will play this season, and I believe he will play this week. I think that's going to happen. Now, he won't start. You ain't taking Aaron Beasley out right now. He'll be a compliment there, which is a good thing. That's what you want. You want competitiveness there at certain positions. So I expect Juwan Mitchell to play this week. You know, we'll see how the week goes, but I have a good feeling that Juwan Mitchell will likely play this week. We'll go on now to Brian. Cedric is fortunate to have the 2021 stats. His stats today don't tell the story. Brew is the new alpha. Hope they figure that out soon. Easy to think he might do more with those targets. 100%. I mean, Cedric is still a baller. I wouldn't say that he's not the alpha in the wide receiver room, but Brew McCoy is certainly a good athlete that needs to get the football more 100%. So I would agree with you there. All right, going to take another short break here. When we get back, a couple more Twitter Tuesday questions. Here, part of this mailbag edition of Locked On Vols. We'll come back and wrap things up here in just a minute. All right, guys, we got a couple more to get into here on this Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. Welcome back, and thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. If you haven't already, please go subscribe on the YouTube page. Let's continue to grow that YouTube page. And, of course, you can find this anywhere you find your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey app, Stitcher, wherever you guys listen to your podcast. All right, Bruce on the loose. Way to go, defense. As much as they were on the field, they won. My hat is off to the defense. Was it hard to watch? Yes, terrible start. But how many times have we started strong and died at the end? So happy and proud of our team. That was from Saturday night, of course, after Tennessee found a way to win at Pittsburgh. 100%. Again, that's just kind of what I'm trying to reiterate here. How many times has Tennessee been in this type of football game but didn't finish? Tennessee found a way. Found a way. Trayvon Flowers, again, the highest of highs in this football game, the lowest of lows. The interception in the back of the end zone off a deflection from Kamal Haddon, great concentration to catch it, and then the whereabouts to get his feet inbounds at the back end of the end zone there for the touchback, great play. Horrific play whenever he ducks his head and leaves his feet, and he gets hurdled by a tight end, Gavin Bartholomew. Horrible play whenever he gets absolutely trucked on, I believe it was the Abenakanda 76-yard touchdown run, one of those runs, he gets trucked at the third level. The muff punt, goodness gracious, what are you doing going hands above your head to go and try to catch a football and punt return? You can't do that. Short-term memory comes back third and eight and makes a 12-yard loss for a sack in overtime to set up fourth and goal from the 20. That is, in my opinion, a veteran, experienced guy that knows, hey, I got to forget about it. Hey, I got to forget about it. I got to forget about it. I got to do what I can for my team right now to win this football game. And Trayvon Flowers certainly did that. So, Bruce, I appreciate it there. Let's go now to my Facebook page, and we'll check in with, I believe it's Eric. One more time. Hold on. Yep, Eric Paul. I really like the energy that Jordan Thomas has already shown. He's made some great plays on special teams. Where do you see him in the rotation come the 2023 season? Absolutely. Trayvon Flowers, this is it. So for him, he'll be gone this year. Jalen McCullough can technically decide if he wants to come back and play again, but there's going to be a spot, if not two, up for grabs in the secondary. Does Wesley Walker slide back and play safety next year? Does Andre Turrentine take one of those spots? Does Nico Slaughter take one of those spots? Jordan Thomas is there, man. He's physical. I'm with you, man. I love freshmen getting after it on special teams. Jordan Thomas, James Pierce, they've been flying around like crazy men on kickoff team. You love to see it. You absolutely love to see it. So I like Jordan Thomas. He's just young right now, learning some things. Of course, you know, you don't always have to play immediately when you get to college or the NFL. And Jordan Thomas is one of those guys that's just sitting back, learning, adjusting to the game, getting better. And I think he'll definitely be in those plans. He'll be in the two deep next year at safety. He's listed on the depth chart right now, but I think that, like, if they had to bring in another safety, it'd be Turrentine, then it'd probably be Walker, and then probably Slaughter, and then probably him. That's just my opinion. So, but I appreciate the question there. All right, let's go to back to the Twitters and my tweet about, as I walk through this, about Twitter Tuesday. Here we go. We got three more to get into. First one's from Tyler. What improvements does Tennessee need to, or do we need to see this week to feel an even more confidence, or to have even more confidence heading into Florida? Again, it's just so difficult, man, because I feel like this is going to be much like much like the Ball State game. We're going to get into Akron here in a little bit, but first and foremost, their best player is the quarterback, DJ Irons, and he got hurt and left the football game in the second quarter against Michigan State on Saturday, a game where they lost 52-0. He's a dual threat. He throws the ball pretty well. He's their leading rusher. You know, and is he going to play? I don't know. But still, this is a football team that was 2-10 a season ago, 1-7 in MAC play, next to last or dead last in defense in the MAC conference in the MAC, the Mid-American Conference is what I was saying. MAC, not MAC conference. Hate when people do that. Their run game is horrendous. So what are you going to learn from this football game? So like in games like this, a lot of times it's just pointless unless you're super beat up, but you just want to go in there and you want to stay injury free. You want to go score points. You want to create turnovers, create havoc on defense. You want to get in your youth. You need to see a lot of Dylan Sampson. Need to see a lot of Justin Williams Thomas. Need to see a lot of Jordan Thomas that we were just talking about. James Pierce, Joshua Josephs, Elijah Herring. You need to see these young guys getting tons and tons and tons of reps. So like I don't know how much you're going to learn from this Akron game. We'll see. I guess. But you didn't learn a thing about Ball State. You didn't learn a thing about your football team. So we'll see, man. We'll see. Just want to get out of there injury free. But obviously pick up a big win, continue the momentum on into Florida because that one is a big one. Kurt says, will you ever hammer a guarantee again like you did Tennessee covering the first quarter against Pitt? Kidding. Kind of, LOL. No, that's fair. Hey, you win some, you lose some. That's why it's called sports gambling. BetOnline.net. Go check it out. I always like Tennessee to cover the first quarter spread, but yeah, it was horrendous there for the first three drives. Again, it was punt, turnover on downs. That's how Tennessee started that football game on offense. So you got me there, Kurt. I feel you, brother. I feel you. A real question from Kurt. Does an ugly win like this make you feel more confident about this team winning any of the toss-up games left or even Alabama or Georgia? Kind of what I was saying earlier, you found a way to win when you didn't play good football. So you're finding different ways to win. Tennessee relied on its defense. Tennessee won this football game by pitching a shutout in the third quarter, by allowing, 10 points to Pitt in the fourth quarter. But the defense hung in there and played well from quarters 2, 3, 4, and then overtime, and allowed the offense finally a chance to break through in overtime. So what I learned about this, or getting confidence about this team moving forward, is Tennessee found a way to win. Also, you relied on Chase McGrath to kick two big field goals. Again, 37 yards is no gimme. 51 yards is definitely not a gimme. And you got 6 points from Chase McGrath. So you look on some of those positives, the defense, that portion of the special teams. You say, okay, well, I have confidence moving forward that Tennessee can utilize that later on in the season. In those toss-up games, Kentucky will be a dogfight. LSU will be an absolute dogfight. Florida will be a dogfight for sure. And then, you know, hey, lo and behold, if you're in that game in the fourth quarter against Alabama, Georgia, absolutely. And anything's possible. I mean, Alabama almost lost to Texas this week. Georgia's looked unstoppable so far. But again, I understand they played Samford this weekend after, you know, killing Oregon the week before. So we'll see. But finding different ways to win football games. Tennessee had no run game. Tennessee won this football game by throwing it to Cedric Tillman, essentially. I mean, it really did. So that's kind of what I would say one of the big takeaways was: you found a way to win. You won the football game, which is most importantly, but you won in different ways, you know, where Tennessee just couldn't run the ball to save its life. And then finally, we'll go to Eric. How much does a win like this continue to grow the confidence of this team? I believe it's a huge stepping stone for this program. Beating Florida will just be as big. What do you say? Oh, 100%. Tennessee was very confident coming into this football game, really confident coming into this football game. I think the defensive line, because of people like me, and again, I hope you guys know that I always said, you know, I scheme, they got the ball out quickly. You know, it wasn't anything to panic over, but I do think the defensive front felt a little disrespected because people like me were talking all last week. And so they came in ready to go. That defense played confidently. That offense in the second quarter and the end of the first quarter was playing confidently. Pittsburgh was a little walking wounded team on Saturday. They lost some players, but to Tennessee's credit, Tennessee knocked out Keaton Slovis. Don't want to wish injury upon anybody, but Tennessee knocked Keaton Slovis out of the game. Tennessee was knocking around Nick Patty, the backup quarterback. One of the better defensive linemen for Pitt, you know, left that football game. It was a physical football game, and Tennessee out-physicaled, if you say that, played more physical than Pittsburgh did. in that football game. So that's good. I think Tennessee drew a whole lot of confidence from Saturday. I do. And, you know, winning a game in overtime, because also remember the last time Tennessee played an overtime game was in the Music City Bowl. You lost in heartbreak fashion. So even winning a game in overtime, I think, kind of adds to the confidence meter as well. So bottom line, again, we'll look at the PFF grades tomorrow, and we'll speak with Josh Ward, hopefully coming up tomorrow as well. But, you know, overall, the big win for Tennessee in terms of finding a way, just finding a way. And you'd much rather regroup and discuss ways you can improve on things and get better with a win than sitting with a 1-1 record right now. All right, that's going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols. Can't thank you guys enough. Every single Tuesday, it's when you take over the show. Locked On Vols at Locked On Vols on Twitter and at underscore Kaner. And you can always comment on the YouTube page or find me on Facebook at Kaner on Air. Guys, thanks so much for everything you do for this show. Please subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please rate me 5 stars and leave me a review. That means more to me than you will ever know. It's so good for the show. Can't thank you enough. Got a big show coming up tomorrow and through the rest of the week as we get ready for Akron. Looking ahead to Florida, of course, but not taking anything for granted 2019. All right, we'll talk again tomorrow. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody.